Hello and welcome to the Euractiv Agri-Food Podcast. I'm Natasha Foote.
And I'm Gerardo Fortuna.
And here's your weekly update on all things agriculture and food in the EU from Euractiv's Agri-Food News team. So Gerardo, our last podcast of the year.
Last podcast of the year.
Can you believe we're here already?
Yeah. I mean, don't worry. I'm going to come back in January.
Yeah. Only of this year. Yeah. Last of this year. Not last of all time. Don't worry. Loyal listeners.
Yeah, you started with this scaremongering intro. But...
it was like clickbait.
Clickbait.
I was like, what? The last what? No, just last one of the year.
So we wanted to do something a bit more relaxed and also interesting, which is basically a collection of our thoughts on what the year has been.
A wrap up,
and also to see a bit the topic that we're gonna deal with in the coming months of 2022.
Yes, plenty coming up. So I was thinking of, you know, having a little look back, nostalgic moment on this year that was a wild year for all of us.
You know, the nostalgic, the title of this podcast would be Nostalgia.
Nostalgia for this weird and wonderful 2021.
For sure, we could feel this nostalgia for the Common Agricultural Policy.
Yeah, the whole thing could be that. Well, at least don't worry, it's not. But
it's not. Yeah, but the good memories that we had in covering the actual negotiation that started in 2020 November, but they basically took the most interesting parts of the negotiation happened in 2021. Mm-hmm. So this year,
and what a ride it was.
For us, it was a very good moment, even from our personal career, no? Because we had a lot of exposure and we did some very cool stuff that were inconceivable for such a niche topic like Common Agricultural Policy. We had
Everyone got involved.
We had a very successful live blog, you remember?
Mm-hmm. We were cool for like 5 minutes. Got a 5 minutes of of fame.
Yeah, indeed. And
our mission is to keep the cap cool now.
Actually, we had two live blogs. We had one on the on the vote, but it was in 2020 on the vote at the parliament, and one for the unsuccessful super trilogue, super duper bigger trilogue.
Yeah,
the second attempt.
How did they call it? It was the super trilogue, wasn't it? And then there was another one.
No, the super trilogue. Yeah, I think it's
Jumbo
trilogue. The super trilogue was in March.
How did we forget Jumbo?
And then there was the Jumbo trilogue. Yeah, there was the famous headline, "Welcome to the Jumbo."
You're particularly proud of that, weren't you?
Yeah, welcome to the Jumbo. Yeah. But in general, even in this space, we've been quite proud of hosting basically all the voices involved in these negotiations, starting from the actual negotiator. We had an interview with Portuguese Agri Minister Maria José Antunes. We had one with Norbert Lins, who's the Agriculture Committee, the chair of the Agriculture Committee at the European Parliament, so one of the main negotiators, let's say. There were three negotiators, of course, but I mean Norbert Lies has always been in the room together with them, and we had, of course, the Commissioner Janusz Wojciechowski before the Jumbo trial.
This episode has just turned into this big, like, humble brag of how well we covered.
Yeah. No, it's true. Of course, we hosted a lot of stakeholders, industry, NGOs. Absolutely. I'm super proud of what this is a bragging moment.
And while we're on a bragging moment, I have a personal high from the CAP negotiations, which was the moment.
Just one.
Well, no, obviously too many to count, of course. But if I had to pick one, I mean, there's a standout moment for me, which is when the agricultural commissioner, Janusz Wojciechowski, punned my name on Twitter.
But what was the pun, Tash?
So I was talking about, you know, these talks resuming. I was saying, what's going on? You know, it's all changing. It's all interesting. And he replied basically being like, you know, we're working on different things to keep you on your toes or foot.
You are.
Ba-dum-bum. Foot with an E, obviously.
It was actually quite funny. I mean,
it's good. It's a good pun. It's a good pun. I didn't see it coming.
Good timing.
I didn't see it coming. Excellent pun. I mean, we all know that both of us are big fans of the pun. And
okay,
well played, Janusz.
One might point out that, you know, during negotiation, he's spending time
punning.
But it's actually a good exercise for creativity, because actually it took a bit of creativity to find the final deal. Eh? Mm. You remember the most dramatic moments, the hours when the council came up with a proposal for the scheme with the floor of 18%, yeah, and it was rejected by the parliament, and then they decided basically to. This was during the jumbo trilogue, and then they finally reached an agreement in June. Mm. I mean, this is actually one of the best moments. The fact that the commissioner was punning your name. I'd say that the other two important moments are basically when we hosted the Spittlebug in this podcast. You probably remember that we had this exclusive.
No, the Spittlebug again.
Yeah, we basically had the mating song of this pest. It's not even the pest, it's a carrier of the bacteria Xylella, and we basically and there's a group of scientists and researchers trying to it's basically integrated pest management, so they basically try to destroy it.
It's actually talk about being creative, you know, this is such an interesting and very innovative approach to pest control.
Of course
it's incredible.
Of
just course. The sounds. You know?
Yeah, and then the sound, yeah. And so basically you have to, once you finish this podcast, you can check the previous episodes. There's one called Spittlebug or something like that.
I'll put the link below.
Or the put the link below, yeah. Mm. And yes, another cool moment in our top three moments of the year is when we actually addressed the Agriculture Committee at the European Parliament. A few weeks ago. But let's come back on the main themes of this 2021. So we mentioned the Common Agricultural Policy. What are the other four top theme?
We have four more. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, so our second top moment, where we caused a bit of a, to quote your favourite word, Gerardo, a bit of a ruckus, was about this JRC report from the European Commission on the potential effects of the EU's flagship food policy, the Farm to Fork strategy. So this wasn't like an impact assessment, but it was a kind of technical report, I think is what they called it, about potential effects that arise from these sustainable and green ambitions. But the moment I'm talking about here wasn't the publication of the report, which happened very quietly in the middle of August this year. But actually,
no one noticed it,
just under the radar, just whoop, right in the middle of everyone's holidays, everyone's on the beach, and no one's worrying about the farm to fork strategy. But actually, the moment I'm talking about is the moment that Euractiv exclusively revealed that actually the study was ready back in January. So the commission had actually sat on this study for 6 months and chose to publish in August, which is what everyone was saying, very, you know, these conspiracy theories flying around about this report, when it was ready, if it was ready, et cetera, et cetera. And actually, we ended up seeing documents that showed, yes, it was ready to be published, and that there'd been a decision taken not to publish back in January. which ended up being quite a big story. You know, it was debated by MEPs, like lots of people weren't happy about this. Because I have to say, I didn't mention this, but because the report did find that there were some unfavorable outcomes or likely to be some unfavorable outcomes of the sustainable ambitions in the agricultural sector. So that was a sneaky move and an interesting moment from the Commission.
So basically the first theme of the year was how good we were at covering the common agricultural policy negotiation. And the second one, how good we were in scooping the postpone.
So basically what we're saying is follow your active.
Yeah. No, I mean, let's come back to some serious... No, I'm joking. No, the third theme, the third trend is this, not appeasement, but I mean this... relaxed state of tension between the US and the EU on the trade aspects. We remember the 2020 actually saw the famous lobster deal, which was basically an olive branch after years of trade tension. So opening the EU market to the main lobster, but main state in US.
I seem to remember this also sparked quite a good agri-food brief title from you.
Yeah.
That I messed like, up. Remember that? So
thanks
long
for all the lobster.
So long and thanks for all the lobster.
Yeah.
Although
yeah.
I accidentally published it with "So long and thanks for all the fish." It's just indeed. Such a catchy song. As I was writing indeed. It, I couldn't help myself.
So let's say that in March, the agriculture boss of the U.S., Tom Vilsack, the new one, and the newly appointed, and the bloc's boss, Janusz Wojciechowski, had a phone call, quite a nice call, and they basically recognized the importance of free and fair trading system between the two sides of the Atlantic. So it was a long process, and with other tension in between, like when Vilsack launched this global coalition, which was basically addressed against the Green Deal ambition. So basically, it was a bit like you said before with the GRC report. So basically, the US are pushing on keeping the productivity, at higher levels, while the Commission has, you know, a greener ambition, let's say.
Just that they've got slightly different paths.
Yeah.
No, when I say slightly different paths, I mean.
but in the end, they are basically on the same page, apart from this little tension.
On the surface,
in November, no, it was in October, they had this meeting in Brussels where they at least pretended to be on the same page. So it's a good development, you know, easing the tension between the US and the EU.
It's a nice look back, but also a look forward in the same, because, yeah, as I said, they made all the right noises. Let's see how this translates.
Yeah. But what else? I mean,
what else? What else have we got? Well, this year was a really big year for animal welfare. You know, animal welfare was really on the Commission's agenda or menu, as we so often like to say. We saw the End the Cage initiative that was, it was a citizens initiative that was looking to ban cages in farming. And actually, the Commission backed this. After there was, I think there was over a million signatures on this, and the Commission's responded saying, yes, we're going to work towards a ban on cages and come up with a legislative proposal on this by 2023. So that was a huge move. That's going to really change the face of animal farming in the EU. But there were also, in general, a lot of movement on animal welfare. I think it's an area that the Commission is increasingly... Yeah. It's doing a lot of work on, there's a lot of focus on. There was the ANET committee, you know, with the animals and transport, are looking at that and various different reports.
The ANET committee in the parliament.
In the parliament, yes. I know, I've just got so acronymized. You have to de-jargon me this time. It was the other way around last week.
Like last week. Yeah. No, absolutely. It's becoming more and more...
a key theme.
It actually started during the German presidency. So at the last semester of 2020, but we've seen an increase in, how many times the topic of animal welfare has been mentioned by the commissioners and by the MEPs in their public speeches. It's it's quite a lot. It's a huge increase. Animal welfare. But we actually kind of forecast that in the look ahead last year. So that's why
I'm not going to name this podcast Nostalgia. I'm going to name it Humble Brag.
This was again the. The fourth topic is how good we are at predicting stuff. and lastly, another interesting theme.
Favorite theme.
Yeah, it's true that it's not really new because it's we always talk about the organic matter.
What you're going to talk about? Soils.
Yeah. The organic matter of in soils.
Oh, soil.
Preserving soil, let's say, which is basically the real raw material of agriculture.
The real black gold, as I once referred to it.
Another agri-food brief, yeah, indeed. And it's always been a theme, but we can say that this year something happened, and particularly some initiative.
Yeah. There was the EU soil strategy, which actually outlined plans for a soil health law by 2023. So I think the idea is basically to bring soil onto the same legal footing as air and water, which is something that campaigners and stakeholders have been calling for many years. But definitely a lot more movement happening on soil, a lot more focus on soil. There'll be a lot of conversations about what this law entails and the effects that it has on the agricultural sector over the next year before the proposal, as I said, in 2023.
It's a good development. Yes, it's always the commission saying that at a certain point in the future we'll do something, but still it's the commission. I'm joking. It's a good development, and our listeners will probably remember that we had the opportunity to interview the World Soil Champion on this on this page.
That was also a personal highlight. Very exciting.
Another thing to check for you. You know, you have some homework for the Christmas.
All linked below.
I don't know you, but in Italy we have homeworks for the Christmas time.
You mean school from school?
Yeah, like we have. You're not going to school, but you actually have to do some homework.
Yeah, we had homework too. Or we usually had exams in January.
Okay.
That was actually even worse, I'd say.
Yeah, it's quite.
Yeah.
Okay, let's move to
That's not nostalgia. That's the opposite.
Yeah, that's not nostalgia.
That's the opposite thing.
I feel a bit anxious now.
Yeah, me too. So,
just to summing up again, our main teams in this 2021 were the final cap down, you know, the common agricultural policy, of course, the postponement of the GRC report on farm to fork, the ease of the EU-US trade relation, the easing of these relations, animal welfare, and soil.
Yes.
New focus on soil in policymaking.
Well, that's enough of looking back. And now let's look forward, because we have lots of things to look forward to in the new year. Lots of things that we'll be covering and bringing you all the latest on. So what to watch for the new year? Well, our number one thing to watch is actually going back to where we started on this podcast, which is back to the cap, because although it is over.
You said it was over.
I know.
By saying it's the current.
We like to raise the hopes and then dash them on this podcast. So we said, oh, it's over. Oh, psych. No, it's not. Actually, there's another chapter to go before really it's over when the cap comes into force in January 2023, because next year is all about these national strategic plans. Now, these plans are, as we've said many times, they're a way, you know, they're part of this idea of shifting responsibility from the EU to member states. So each member state has to create an own individualized kind of action plan of its green ambitions, depending on the certain circumstances of each country. So there's a lot that's being pegged on these plans, because they are the main vehicle by which the Commission are looking to carry out all of its big Green Deal ambitions, because they're not linked in any other way to the cap. And obviously, campaigners are seeing this as a kind of a last-ditch attempt to green the cap as much as possible, because, you know, there is actually still a lot to play for here in terms of what, you know, what the member states decide. The problem is the ball is basically entirely in the member states' court. You know, the Commission's going to review these drafts by the end of this year. And so in January, I guess we'll all be talking about what these, what were in these drafts, what happened, who was late, et cetera, et cetera. They will review them and come back to them, but really it's on the member states now. So all eyes on the member states. And obviously here is also where I put a plug. We have Your Actives Network that will be feeding us information from each of the different member states about what's going on in each different plan and what stage each country is at. So that's something definitely to watch the beginning of the new year and throughout the whole year, actually, next year.
I mean, not each, because we don't have an office in Cyprus, but...
We don't have an office in Cyprus. Okay, fine, we don't have an office in Cyprus, but we have an office in many places, and we're going to be getting information from where we have offices.
And after these, you mentioned, you know, it's going to start in January already, but there's another main event currently scheduled in March, which is the proposal of overhauling the current framework on pesticide, the Sustainable Use of Pesticide Directive, which is, you know, it promises a big battle, and it's part of the farm to fork framework, farm to fork strategy. So basically, the political ambition of the Commission to renew certain aspect of and making, of course, the food supply chain more sustainable. So yeah, it's open. I mean, and we're quite looking forward to see what the Commission will try to put in place to fulfill its environmental ambition when it comes to the use of more sustainable pesticide, particularly as we mentioned before on IPM, and see how we can push, because there was recently an auditor, a report from the auditors that you actually covered, Tash, saying that basically, despite the push in the Sustainable Use Directive, the first, not the first one, but I mean the original proposal, IPM is not that developed in integrated pest management. And it needs to, and some action needs to be put in place to for the uptake of this alternative to the use of chemical pesticide. And speaking of pesticide, what comes next?
Yeah, on the same theme, there is also this the renewal of the approval of glyphosate. So this is the very controversial herbicide, but it's also the most widely used herbicide, if not in the world, definitely in the EU, I'd say. So this is authorized in the EU currently, but this authorization is set to expire in December 2022. Which is coming up rapidly. So expect a big push on lobbying next year. We're in the, it was in late 2019, the renewal process was launched to decide whether this approval should be expanded. And so that's definitely something to watch, because there will be a lot of, a lot of discussion on this.
Indeed, that's a very good article published on Your Active, this website.
This website, this you might have heard of.
by our colleague Julia Dam, on she's basically doing this you know, basically a collection of you know,
voices and
basically the main issue when it comes to the health, safety, and also the environment aspects in the renewal of the renewal process of glyphosate. I strongly suggest you to have a look at.
Definitely.
And also, I mean, she's basically doing giving more information on what point we are at the moment, which is basically the EFSA, basically the Food Safety Agency, closed the application, the submission for application on the 22nd of November. So we are they're assessing what they've collected. Surprisingly, Argentina was the country with
a lot of
the highest number of submissions. Yeah.
Mm.
I assume there's some kind of campaign or something like that.
Mm.
But, yeah. And there's also another aspect, actually two aspects that are quite linked. Overall of the two frameworks, the one on promotional policy and the other one on geographic indications. Yes. They're both quite interesting also because it's more about what the DG Agri will decide to do in the next month, because we know that there have been some cuts and also the amount of work is increasingly growing. So it's important to see how they're going to restructure some of their main workload. I mean, it's about assessing the driving indications and also the pushing this promotional policy. But there's also another big theme is the last one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is, I think it's going to be a big year, although we've been talking about it a lot this year as well, actually, but it's also going to continue into next year. And that is on gene editing.
It could have been one of the...
It could have been actually.
The publication of the study.
I was just thinking that as I was saying it, like, that's probably also kind of a key moment or a key thing.
Because we predicted that it could have been a topic for the look forward. So it's all.
Well, it's definitely a look forward. It's a look back and a look forward, this topic. I mean, gene editing, we've been talking about it all year. Increasingly talking about it, actually.
Yeah, since the ECJ ruling. So 2018. Exactly.
Yeah, actually several years. But there's quite a lot of movement happening at the moment in terms of at the level of the commission, because they're currently reviewing the EU's rules on this technology after there was this publication. I think, as you just mentioned, Gerardo, the publication of a study on new genomic techniques or gene editing, which concluded that the EU's current legal framework on GMOs is insufficient for this technology. So since the commission's launched this action to have a look into the rules on the technology, no one really knows exactly what that means. The commission seems to be kind of increasingly in favor of this technology. There was a high level event on gene editing last week where there were several commissioners. I mean, there was the Health and Food Safety Commissioner Stella Kyriakides, as well as Vice President Frans Timmermans, who really made some favorable noises in terms of gene editing. But what will also be interesting, I think, for the next year to watch how this whole conversation develops is around the fact that the looking at the German government, looking at this new green agri-minister that is coming into Germany. The Green Party has obviously always had this very traditional, fiercely anti-GMO and gene editing stance. But there's this new coalition, this new agricultural minister. He seems fairly pragmatic in terms of his approach to things. There are some dissenting voices in the party. We're not sure how this is going to kind of, you know, could this tip the balance in terms of the gene editing discussion? That's really the question. So I think there's a lot to look at here in the coming year on the issue of gene editing. A lot of emotion around this topic, a lot of lobbying. We'll be talking a lot about this for sure. So that's all from us this week. And this week, like every week, the Euractiv Agri-Food podcast was produced by Euractiv's Agri-Food news team. That's Gerardo Fortuna and Natasha Foote, with the technical support of our podcast producer, Evie Chiori. And you can also find this podcast on all major streaming platforms. That includes Amazon, Apple, Spotify, and Stitcher.
And be sure to subscribe to our newsletter so that you don't miss the latest agriculture news from the EU. I'm Gerardo Fortuna. Thanks for listening, and see you next year.